Well, it's good to be here. And, you know, I always like speaking at 11 o'clock services. Because, you know, I find that, you know, including myself, I start to wake up finally. And, you know, we've all had caffeine or coffee, right? Who's had a coffee already? Come on. You know, and, you know, I find that the artists come out, obviously, in the 11 o'clock service. And that's good. My wife's an artist. And so I'm also kind of creative. And so we like to stay up late and wake up at a leisurely pace. How many here like that? Okay, well, yeah, way to go. And then, you know, here we are, 11 o'clock almost. So it's good. You know, I've really enjoyed getting to know Norm here. The MB conference is actually, there's some really awesome things happening in church planting. And I'm sure occasionally you hear kind of some of the stories that Norm mentions. And I've gotten to know him through our network meetings. Once a month, a whole bunch of church planters come down to your office. And we try to find parking. We collect, keep our coins, right? And then we meet together, and we pray, we share, we get challenged by God's word, and it's just a great time of getting together. So I don't know if you knew that all these church planters are coming down to the west side once a month to be encouraged, and we are. And so it is just exciting to be a part of what God is doing. And Norm, I'm getting to know him, and he's a great guy. You've got a great pastor here who loves the Lord. And he's a gift to the church here. You know, I'm amazed every week how Christians around the world come together to learn and grow under the word of the Lord. And I just want to really affirm you today for saying, you know what, it's important for me to be in church learning how to live my life. Learning how to live under God's word and saying, God, would you work in my life? Would you make a difference? Would you help me to hear from you today so that I can go out and live as a Christian. And some of you here are maybe just journeying in faith and you are still trying to figure out what is God all about. And I'm really excited that today the passage that God has kind of led me towards is a passage where Jesus himself is meeting someone who is on a journey of faith. And so I hope that today, if you're a believer, a Christ follower, that you'd be encouraged the message today and that your heart would be open. And if you're on a journey of faith, that you could see yourself in this story and see yourself interacting with Jesus Christ. I want to pray and just ask that Lord would open our hearts. Let's do that. Lord God, I want to thank you that you're a God that is not silent. Thank you that you're a God that is alive and well. Thank you that you're a God that loves us. You understand us. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you came and walked this earth. You lived amongst us. And I thank you, Lord, that you gave up your life so that we could live and live abundantly. And thank you, Lord, for these scriptures that we live our life by. And I pray that now, as we open up your word, that you would speak clearly. I know that you always do, God. And that you would help us to be receptive in understanding how your word needs to interact with our lives. Lord, convict us and give us the courage to follow you with all of our hearts and devotion. We love you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I've come to know the West Side a little bit. I grew up in Ontario. Then in 92 came out to Abbotsford and lived in Abbotsford for 14 years with my family. And we're kind of on a journey right now because we're actually moving to Surrey to plant a church there, and we're really excited. This is a huge transition for us, though. And, you know, God has provided, his hand has been in it, and it's just exciting. I've noticed that when we step out in faith to follow a calling that God puts on our lives, how he comes through and surprises us in many ways. And so I am just excited about this calling that God has called my family on. And you know, we're getting to know Surrey a little bit more, but I've never really gotten to know the West Side. I came in for coffee once to see Norm, and he gave me these addresses and this place, and I couldn't find them. I called him. Oh, I'm over here. But this last month, I'm very glad to say that my son, he's doing a learning program down at the end of Broadway in Alma. And so I've been coming in with him. And we sometimes come in. We come in very early because it starts at 8, so we leave around 6:15 from Abbotsford. You know, lots of traffic. Gotta love that. Today, actually, it only took about an hour. There's no traffic. And so we come into town here. Cody goes for his class, and then I kind of just hang out in the west side. Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed some places, so I've got to know some coffee shops. I started going to the Niebuhr King, I think that's how you say it. It's down on Broadway, you know, a good breakfast sandwich, you know, and a lot of people in there with their computers. And then I found another place. It's right on Alma, and it's got cinnamon buns. Who's been there? Okay. You know what? I really am kind of surprised that on the west side, you can actually find something with so many calories. I don't know. It's a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it? But it's good. I mean, it's really good. So I've been hanging out here a little bit and just seeing your world. Just looking at the people that are getting on the bus, coming into the coffee shops, walking the streets there on Broadway. And you know what? You've got a beautiful place to live. And there's a lot of people here of so many nationalities, cultures, diversity. You are blessed. This is a beautiful place. And so I am thankful that God has put a message on my heart here, and I'm excited to just open up the scriptures. But I was wondering, you know, this is kind of holiday season, and where would you like to go if someone came up to you and said, hey, you know what, you can go anywhere in the world for a vacation, do whatever you want. Just imagine right now, where would you like to go if you could go somewhere this week? And, you know, just think about that a little bit. Maybe share that with a friend real quick, okay? Go ahead. Share it with a friend. I want to see some smiles on your face because that should bring you passion, right? So I was thinking about this question myself, and I was kind of going, okay, where would I like to go with my wife on vacation? And I was thinking, you know, we were actually, a number of years ago, we were in Maui, and it was the most unbelievable place. It's gorgeous. And one of the things that we really love to do when we went to Maui, we discovered the joy of snorkeling. How many of you have done any snorkeling here before? You know, I could not believe how beautiful it was under the surface of the ocean. I mean, Maui is amazing, right? You go and you get in the water and it's like, oh, this is warm. This is good. I just want to be in this water. And then, you know, we kind of noticed that as we got one of these. We rented them for extremely amount of money. So now I've bought my own. I put this on and I started trying to experiment with just looking under the water. And I could not believe how crystal clear everything was, and it just seemed that the magnification with the water and all the colors, the beauty of the ocean underneath the surface was just gorgeous. And I instantly fell in love with just doing that. Well, then we had to learn, obviously, to use the snorkel here. And I discovered that, you know, the water being under the surface can be a little dangerous. I thought I'd dive down, you know, and explore this. And I got to the bottom, and I started, I didn't really know how to use this very well. And so water started coming in. I'm like, okay, I got to get back up there really quick. And there was a panic, and I got up to the surface, and I'm spewing out salt water, and I'm thinking, this stuff does not taste good. And so I discovered that, you know, this is difficult. But yet, this thing here can, in a snorkeling situation, can bring life when you know how to use it. So we began to experiment more, and we began to explore this coral reef. Now, friends of ours had told us about some places to go in Maui. They said there's a couple places that are just amazing. You need to snorkel here. And then there's places that you don't want to go to. They're really kind of dangerous. You know, they said something about sharks and other things like that. And so you know, when we got to Maui, we were kind of like, oh, do you remember which places we shouldn't go to and which we should? No. So we just started going somewhere. We remember this one place, Mile 14, and it was on the way to Lahaina, so we thought, okay, we'll try to find that. So we found it, and we're kind of there. We're ready to get in. I look at my wife and go, is this one of the places we should be or shouldn't be? I don't know. Let's just go for it. So anyhow, we go for it, and there was lots of low coral that you could kind of just kind of go from one little spot to the next, and you could just explore for hours. I was just amazed at the beauty that is below the surface, all the life, the color, and, you know, it was so much fun. Well, after coming back, we actually discovered that this area was one of the areas that we should not go to. A lot of sharks there. I guess they come in the coral and kind of look for, you know, lunch. Fortunately, God was with us, and we made it, and we survived. But there was this other time when we were kind of going to this other area. It was down closer to our accommodations. And we had to go out to a deeper level. There was some coral that was further out, and there was a different kind of fish there. And so we thought, okay, we've been snorkeling in here for, you know, a few days. We're going to take the adventure and go further out and explore. So sure enough, that's what we did. So we started going out, and as we're going, we see these scuba divers coming in, you know, but they're much lower underneath. And we see these big spear guns in their hands. So, you know, my wife and I, under the water, are actually able to communicate, believe it or not. I sensed that she did not want to go any further. Maybe it was her tugging me back, you know, pulling my shoulder out. But we actually discovered that, yes, there was some life out there that we did not want to encounter. And so we turned around and we came back. And my wife preferred the inshore snorkeling. So we discovered that, you know what, there is a lot of danger underneath the surface. And we're so fortunate that we didn't run into that danger. When I was just about a year ago, we went to Cabo San Lucas. Anyone been there? That's good. Okay, a few people. Yeah, it's fun. And we went there, and we're out at this kind of the arch. There's two beaches out there. It's called one beach is called Lover's Beach. The other is called Divorce Beach. We were at Lover's Beach, okay? So it was good. We're out there, and some of our friends that we just kind of ran into in Cabo. Like, when does that happen? You go on a vacation, and then, hey, guys, what are you doing here? So we started hanging out a bit together, and we decided to go to this beach area, and it's right around the famous arch and all that. And right along the rock walls, there's this really great snorkeling, apparently. And so we thought, oh, let's do some of this. So we had brought some of our equipment, and the girls were suntanning, and I said to Milt, hey, Milt, why don't we go snorkeling? He's like, yeah, let's do it. So we get our equipment on, and I brought all my stuff, including the handy fins. Now, these look pretty geeky when you put them on, I got to admit, but they work really good in the water. And so Milt didn't have any. He said, no problem, it'd be okay. So we started going into this watery area, obviously, under the surface. And there was these rock walls, and the waves were kind of, they were pretty hard. So you didn't want to get really close to the edge, because you get pounded into them. And they were really sharp, barnacles, all that. But we saw some amazingly beautiful fish and that, and we just kept kind of lazily swimming along and looking and stuff, and it was so cool. Well, we get a ways away, and I figure, you know what, we should maybe head back now. Well, we start turning around and going back, and all of a sudden we're realizing, you know, there's a bit of a current here. This is not the same as it was the other direction. And I noticed that it was not too bad with me, because I had my flippers here, and they actually, you know, you get a lot more pressure and strength, and you can just glide through the water without a lot of effort. Now, my friend Milt, on the other hand, he was having a difficulty. And I could kind of sense that he was struggling, getting tired. We stopped a ways, and we actually got up onto one rock a little bit just to rest. And I was noticing that I could sense the anxiety in him, because we still had a ways to go. You know, we're two, like, Canadians. You know, he's from the prairies. I'm from Ontario. Here we are in this ocean with these currents. Okay, we are totally out of our element. This is bad. And he started sensing it. And so I kind of was thinking, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to get back? You know, we're not going to be able to scale along this wall of rocks. That's going to take for hours. We're going to get cut up and injured. And so I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I know what I need to do. I need to actually take my hand and say, Milt, I'm going to pull you along. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is a barrier I don't want to cross. Here we are in Cabo St. Lucas. Hey, Milt, how you doing? Swimming along, snorkeling together. Don't want to go there, guys. No, don't want to. But anyhow, I discovered, you know what? This guy's my friend. And so I reached out, and I actually physically pulled Milt back. And right away as I did that, I could sense the anxiety in him just leave. And even though it was awkward, I'll never forget the fact that I helped my friend through something that was difficult for him. And we got back, we got closer to shore, you know, it's like, hey, that was cool. Yep. Oh. Hope no one knows about this, you know. So don't tell anybody, okay? But I share that because there's a lot of dangers under the surface. And we didn't expect the tide. And we just came around and I just said, hey, you know, I gotta help my friend. And I did. You know, I've been thinking about a lot of relationships lately. As a pastor, I often meet with a lot of men. And we get together for coffee and we talk about life. And I ask them about their life. And I'm not afraid to begin to talk about some of the difficulties in life. But one of the things that I'm discovering is that in North America and in the relationships that I have, that a lot of guys find it hard to share about their life below the surface. We're great at surface relationships, sports, interests. But how do we get to the point where we can actually begin to share the things in our life that are sometimes very beautiful, sometimes difficult, sometimes ugly? How do we get to that point? And so I kind of felt that God was placing a message on my heart to say, you know what? Why is it in the church there are so many surface relationships? And I know that that's the case sometimes with ladies. I know that they're a little bit better at getting below the surface, though. And maybe you're a guy here and you're very good at getting below the surface in your relationships, and I want to encourage you to keep doing that. But I kind of felt this message stirring up in my heart that we got to talk in the church about how we can begin to get into the depths of each other's lives and how we can begin to really be authentic to each other, to love each other, care for each other, support each other. And so I began to look for a text, and a text came to my mind about Jesus and the woman at the well. And interesting enough, as I read that text, I started seeing that God really wanted to take the message a little different direction. And so the direction today we're going to go is that we're not going to talk about how we as Christians can build deeper relationships. I think that's an important message, and we need to explore that more. But I really believe that God wants us to actually go below the surface in the relationships that we form in the community, with people that we interact with each day, people that are not yet Christ followers, who are people that we run into at Starbucks, people that we run into at our work, maybe a class that we have, maybe on the bus. I believe that the message that God wants to speak today out of John 4 is a message to encourage us to reach out to those people that are around us that are yet to be Christ followers. And so that's the direction we're going today. And I hope that as we dig into God's Word, that He'll really speak to us and grab our hearts. You know, I was kind of wondering, what holds us back from kind of going below the surface with people in our community, the people that we run into? What are the barriers that often just keep us from really entering into their lives and being willing to look at the beauty of their lives, some of the ugliness within their life, some of the things that are gripping them? What are those barriers? And so I listed a few, and I think one of the first ones that comes to mind is busyness. And I read this, it said in a book, it says, most adults are busy. We have no downtime. We move from one activity to activity with few real relationships and little introspection. We're distracted from our distractions by our distractions. You know, I don't know about you, but I find that even in ministry, where I meet with people all the time, I can get so busy that sometimes, even busy with lots of good relationships within the church, within the circle that God has placed me in, the community, that I seem so busy that I'm not relating to people on the outsides. And I want to ask you today, you know, are you too busy? Are you so busy that, you know, you don't have time to talk to the person in the Starbucks line or in your class that you maybe just are sitting beside? I find that we're really busy at times. I think another barrier that we kind of run into that holds us back from going below the surface is that I think we're sometimes too afraid to show our stuff. This past year I was at seminary, and there was one course where the course was all about looking at who we are. And it was really targeting, as a pastor, you know, who you are is so much about what the church is going to be like. There's so much that flows out of, as a leader, that it really made us look hard at ourselves. And I noticed that there were things that, as we began to read books, and some of the books really prodded me to look into areas of my life that maybe I hadn't looked at for a long time. And it started just pressuring me to think, hey, you know, who are you, Dave? What's important to you? Along with God, I know it was all God in this journey. He was calling me to look at who I was, to deal with my junk, my stuff, my hang-ups, the things that I love that maybe take away my affection for the Lord. And so I wonder, are there things in our lives that we're so in love with, or things in our life that are so difficult that we avoid reaching out to people and going below the surface because we're afraid of the things in our own life? I think sometimes we are. We're afraid to show our own junk, to be vulnerable. Another barrier might be that sometimes I think as a church we're self-righteous. We think we know it all. We know the way. We know the truth. We've made a decision to follow Christ. We're good. And you know what? There are a lot of people out there that are making poor decisions. And, they're going to hell. And, you know, we're just self-righteous. And that holds us back from actually forming relationships. We don't have the compassion. And I think that kind of holds us back. Another barrier that I've discovered is in our society, in our culture. In the 60s, through the leadership of Pierre Trudeau, he really ushered into Canada a multicultural society. And what that brought was an opportunity for everyone to have their own faith, their own religion, their own culture. And more we find our culture to be collections of lots of different cultures all coming together. I mean, Vancouver is like one of the most cosmopolitan cities in the world. We have so many cultures here. And what this has done is that it said, you know what, everyone is allowed to have their own faith, their own religion. That's good. But keep it to yourself is the underlying notion. You know, let people have their own belief and their own system, their culture, but keep yours to yourself. And you know what, I find that interesting enough, this actually impacts the Christian church. Because what happens is that our culture shapes us with that understanding without us sometimes even knowing it. And so even when we come together as the church, I find that sometimes we're not actually sharing our lives with each other and sharing our faith with each other. When was the last time we got together with a friend and just shared scripture together? Well, you text a friend and said, hey, I got a scripture for you. Or talked about each other's spiritual lives. I mean, I know it does happen in some relationships. I want to encourage you to keep doing that. But in many, it seems like we're not really talking about our faith together. And as I read the scriptures and books like Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, Life Together, where he talks about how we as Christians need to speak the word into each other's lives. And I read scriptures about confessing our sins to one another. And I think that a barrier that holds us back in our culture from ministering to people outside of the faith is that we're culture is telling us we got to keep our faith to ourselves. And I want to encourage you that Jesus did not do that in this passage, and we're going to see that. And so there are a number of things that cause us to avoid going below the barriers, going to the depths of people's lives. And I want to encourage you today that on the west side here, there is beauty in people's lives, if we choose to put this on and begin to see through Christ's eyes. There is beauty in relationships. There is so much creativity here on the West Side. There are so many people that are searching, that are looking, that are coming here for university, that are open, and they're glad maybe that they're finally away from their home, and now they can explore a whole new life. There are people here below the surface that are searching. And I want to say today, are we willing to put on this mask and say, you know what, I want to see through your eyes, Christ. I want to see the people as you see them. Help me to do that. So there's barriers. But I want to turn to a passage here in John 4. If you've got your Bible, just turn to it. And today we're going to look at an example of Jesus. One of the things that I've heard about Westside is that you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you love learning under the Scriptures. And I just want to say I really affirm that God wants to give us direction on how we need to interact with the people around us and loving them. And so this is a great example of Jesus himself interacting with the woman at the well. And I'm not going to read it all, but we are going to look at a number of verses. But just in the beginning of the chapter, we see that Jesus, he's coming into with his disciples to this area in Samaria, and they come to this village that has a history. Jacob's well was there, and this was a famous well where Jacob and his family and livestock all made and drank from. And the Samaritan people were kind of outcast from the Jews. They were a people group that they didn't really talk. They had a lot of differences. But yet, they were both seeking the Messiah. And so, we see Jesus saying to the disciples, I'm going to take a break here. And the disciples go into the town to get some food. And Jesus is just kind of hanging out. And while he's there, he meets this woman. And there's an interaction here which we'll look at. This woman is ultimately changed. Her life is changed by Jesus. And then she goes into the city and tells people about her time with the Lord. And people come to hear and to ask Jesus to stay with them for a couple days. And it says in the scripture here that many people come to know the Lord. So we're going to start here by looking at verse 39. And verse 39 in chapter 4, the first part of that verse, it says this. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. You know, Jesus here, I think, he's so smart. He came into the city and he went and he met with this one person. And isn't it amazing how Jesus makes a difference in the lives of many people by just entering into the life of one? And this verse kind of shows that the end result is that many people came to know Jesus because of this one lady. And can you imagine that if each of us here in the West Side talked to one person and helped them on their spiritual journey towards God, and then they went and told others, what could happen? You know, God loves this city. He loves people. He looks at their lives below the surface into the depths of who they are, and he loves them. Can you imagine what would happen if we all went out and loved one person? This text shows us that as we share that person's testimony, this lady's testimony made a huge impact in that town. And the question, I guess, is that, you know, are we willing to go and just talk to the one? And I want to challenge you that, you know, I think that following Christ on that kind of adventure, into that kind of journey, is just so, it's awesome. So let's look at verse 6 here. Let's go back to the beginning of the story and just kind of flow along from verse 6 on. And we're going to pick out little things that we can learn about how Jesus interacted with the woman at the well. And kind of, I hope that we can say, God, you know what? This is how we need to interact in our day and age. So let's start with verse 6. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. So it was 12 o'clock, and noon. And there Jesus was. He was tired and he was taking a rest. You know what? As I kind of just studied over that verse, I prayed over it. Say, God, what is it here that you want me to see? And I began to see that, first of all, Jesus was tired and he took a rest. And I want to ask you, are you tired? Are you running at such a pace? There's so many things happening in your life that you look at your calendar, your work, you know, especially some of you are students. And you know what it's like. I know what it's like as a student. You know, you just got so much going on that you can never seemingly take a rest. But this is what Jesus did. He said, you know, I'm going to take a rest. You guys go on. And so he rested there at this well. And I was thinking about this well, and I was thinking, okay, is this well, what was that like in that day? Was that a popular place to be? And yeah, it was. I mean, the well was kind of like, I imagine, the third space of that time. Now, you've all probably heard about third space. Our home is our first space. Our work or school is our second. And then our third space is where we like to hang out. Now, I want you to share with the people around you your third space, if you could choose. Go ahead. Go do that. I'm going to get a drink of water here. Don't be shy. If it's a pub or something, just confess that. So here is Jesus. He's taking a break. He's hanging out at the third space. And this woman comes along. Let's read what happens in verse 7. Follow along in your Bible. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." You know, when I read this, all of a sudden I realized, you know what, Jesus crossed cultural barriers. And she called him on it right away. I think that was one of the things that surprised this lady, that a man and a Jew would actually ask her for a drink. And that was shocking to her. And she responded by saying, "Hey, I'm kind of surprised you're even asking." So obviously this was a cultural barrier that Jesus crossed. Not only that, but if we read further into the text, we see when the disciples came back, it kind of gives us a hint on what they were thinking. They were saying, "Hey, what's Jesus doing talking to this lady? This is a cultural barrier here." And he was willing to cross that barrier to get to know this lady. And, you know, I kind of wonder, what are the cultural barriers that we run into? I mentioned a few of them, the things I think that we avoid, what causes us to avoid getting into people's lives. But why is it sometimes we, like even in a Starbucks lineup, we don't talk to the people around us? I was down in Seattle, and I couldn't believe, it was in the Ballard area, and I was at a coffee shop there, and I walked into this coffee shop, and there's like 30 people with their laptops just sitting by themselves, kind of zoned into their own little world. I think, you know, if I was going to break a cultural barrier there, it'd be like pulling out an iPod ear thing and saying, "Hey, how you doing? What's happening?" You know, like, can you imagine? Like, there's a barrier there. People come in and they zone into their world. And that happens up here too. People are zoned into their world. How often have you waited for a bus and people are there, and when do we strike up conversation? You know, what about the person that serves us at a restaurant? I was in Seattle, and I was there with a friend. And, you know, we were feeling like a steak. You know, we're both guys from the prairies, and so we thought, okay, we got to get ourselves a good steak. So we went to Outback's. And we happened to be kind of in an artsy area, and here's Outback's. Totally different demographic. So our waiter came, and he was really artsy. And obviously, he kind of figured because we're here at Outback, we're redneck. So, you know, he kind of had a little comment that I kind of thought that wasn't fair, and so I kind of threw something a little bit back, and then I was really convicted as he left, because it kind of didn't go quite well, and I thought, you know what? What did I just do there? God, you know, I was just rude. And so when he came back, I began to just talk to him and discovered that he was an artist, a writer. And I mentioned that, you know, I actually enjoy art. My wife's an artist. And we began to talk, and he began to share about his life. And he wanted to send me his script, and he was telling us all about where we could go in Seattle, and there was just a change. And it was because I was willing to break a barrier. Even though I messed up, God redeemed this situation. But what are the cultural barriers that hold us back in many situations from beginning to interact with the people around us? Whether it's our classmates, people at work, what holds us back? I want you to think about some of those cultural barriers and just kind of go, God, if you could pass a huge cultural barrier here in this text, help me to breach that barrier in my life. And then help me to see it when it comes my way. Well, let's take another look at the following verse here. In verse 10, it says this, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. There's two things I want to share about this verse. The first one is this, is that you notice there that Jesus shared a little bit about himself there. He shared who he was. And right away, I'm sure that this lady was like, oh, that's the information that he's giving to this lady about who he is. And I think that you know, we got to take that cue and go, Lord, how can we share information with people that we come in contact with? Maybe, you know, you run into someone who has a similar interest, and you can begin to share your interest in that same hobby, whatever it is. But look for ways that you can share your life. That's what Christ did. And I think that opened up this lady's heart to be able to willing to listen to Jesus, is that Jesus was willing to share a little bit about himself. Another thing I see in this verse, and you probably see it too, is that, you know, Jesus begins to bridge the natural world with the spiritual world. What he does is he uses water, which, I mean, this is the essence of life here. This well is important to this community. Every day this woman would come for water. Life could not be lived without this well. If that well wasn't there, that town probably wouldn't be there. And so Jesus very cleverly uses that natural water and bridges a spiritual truth there and talks about this living water that he wants to give. That, you know, if you get the living water from me, you're not going to have to drink anymore. And you can see a bit of the confusion that the Samaritan woman has with this analogy. But she begins to understand it as he explains it more. And, you know, I was thinking about that and I was going, you know, do we look for ways that we can bridge spiritual truth with our natural world? And I guess the challenge that I thought is that, you know, are we as Christians, do we actually know the truth well enough to even then bridge it? Because if we don't know the truth and we don't know God's truth, how can we bridge the things of God to the truth of the Lord to people who really desperately want to know? And so I think the challenge for us here is to go, you know, I need to understand God's word. And I think that's a barrier that often holds us back. I mean, I remember being really scared in high school when we were talking about evolution. And I had a different belief system. And, you know, I felt challenged that I needed to share and be willing to share what I believed. But it meant that I had to understand what I believed. And I guess I want to say, do you understand what you believe? Do you understand the spiritual truths of the Christian faith enough to know how to bridge them into natural means? And what are some ways that we can do that in our society today? I mean, we don't all go to the well to get water. But you know what? We all use technology to communicate to each other. There's ways. God wants to communicate with us through his word. There's tons of ways that we can take spiritual truth and bridge them into the natural world, where people will begin to understand spiritual truth. So we see that in this verse that Jesus shares with this lady, and she begins to understand that Jesus is talking about something very different. In verse 17, the woman answers, it says this, the woman answered him, Jesus asked, first of all, I'll just go back up, Jesus asked her to bring her husband to come to the well to get this water also. So she says this, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, verse 18, 17. The woman answered him, I have no husband, Jesus said to her. You are right in saying this, you have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. And so she responded that, you know, Jesus, I can't bring my husband because I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you know what, you're right. You don't have a husband now. You actually had five, and the guy you're living with now is not your husband. What you have said is true. And so I read this and I thought, okay, God, what is happening here? You know, I think that, I think Jesus showed something about her life that she probably wasn't terribly happy with. She was trying to avoid maybe answering that question because that was something that probably the reason why she was an outcast in this society. She was a woman who had had a lot of husbands, and she was also there at the well. When most women would come early in the morning, she was there by herself. So it goes to show you that she was kind of an outcast in this community, and it was because of her history. And Jesus brought that up. And I kind of wondered, you know, why is it that she seemingly responded so well to Christ, even though he brought that truth up into her life? Because I find that if I go out there into a third space, and I interact with someone, and I talk to them, and I put up into their face, you know, something about their life that they've done wrong, they're not going to respond well to me, are they? Not at all. And so what is it that made this interaction so positive? And it is actually there. You notice the words that say this, that Jesus said, you are right in saying. And then at the end it says, what you have said is true. You know, instead of condemning this lady, Jesus affirmed the fact that she said something true, that she was honest. You know, it probably pained her so much to actually say that, but yet Jesus affirmed her for being willing to say the truth. And I think that what happens is that as Christians, we have to not come across condemning, not come across self-righteous. I think that we need to affirm people for the beauty that's in their lives. You know, if we begin to see people the way that Jesus sees them, we're going to see beauty in their lives. And I would encourage you to do a little exercise this week. Is that if you get an opportunity to be at a third space, your third space, by yourself, I want you just to look around at people. And I want you just to write down some of the things, the beautiful characteristics that you see in the people that interact around you. Maybe you're going to see acts of compassion that surprise you. Maybe you're going to see somebody who is just really gifted at what they do. Maybe they're the person that's serving you, and they're very gifted. They're warm. They're engaging in the way that they come across. But begin to look for the beauty in people's lives. And then we see Jesus here affirming that, affirming her honesty, not condemning her for her sins. And I think that's why this response of this lady was so different. Why would she go into town after that and tell everyone to come on out? I found the Messiah. Obviously, Jesus impacted her. And it was because she felt loved. She felt valued. Because I could imagine this lady walked around the outskirts of this town. She hid. She maybe walked with her head down. But yet when she came in to town after meeting Jesus, her response was so different. That's why maybe people responded and came out to see Jesus. I also think that the people of that day, they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for something. And they understood the context of that the Jew, there was going to be a Messiah that was going to be coming. And so they were eager. When she said the Messiah is here, they were waiting, they were eager. They were a people that maybe felt like they were the underdogs. And that the Messiah would come and really change their lives. You know what? I think on the surface, when you look at West Side, if you were just to walk along the streets, I think what you'd see is you'd see a people that on the outside don't really seem to really need a Savior. Seems like a lot of people got things together. They're going somewhere. There's a lot of good goals-oriented people. There's a lot of people heading into their education. This is a high-octane part of Vancouver. I mean, it looks like on the surface, everybody's really, doing all right. But yet, below the surface, I think that's where we're going to find that there are a lot of people around us that are coming that are saying, you know what? I have no direction in my life. Why am I here? Why am I so drawn to all these appetites that I have that sometimes are destroying me? And so we see how Jesus met this lady and how she was changed because of his affirmation. Let's move on to verse 19. Verse 19 says this, "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive you are a prophet.'" You know, she saw the difference in Jesus. He was different than any other Jew she had ever met. He was different because he spoke into her life. He wanted to offer her something. And she was really needy. She wanted it. But you see, Jesus was willing to go below the surface and get into her life. And that's where there began this relationship where she needed and wanted to know the Savior. You know, are we willing to go into people's lives? I guess that's what I want to be challenged with. As I moved to South Surrey, my family were moving there on September 1st. And we're in an area where there's a whole new community that's emerging. In the next 10 years, there's going to be 30 to 50,000 people in this community. It's one of Surrey's high-density areas that is being developed. And I'm looking at this message, and I'm being challenged. Because I believe that we as Christians need to do things a little different. Because there's so many people that aren't being reached. And I think it means for myself and my family, we need to live amongst this community. We need to walk, hang out with them, do stuff with them. And I'm thinking, God, give me creative ways that I can build relationships with people around me. You know, planting a church isn't just, I certainly hope it's not, just about gathering a group of Christians and having a good time together. I mean, that should happen, and as we open the scriptures, that needs to happen. But our mission is to go and make disciples, to love people, to be a difference, to be a salt and a light in this world. And she saw the difference in Jesus. Do people see the difference in your life when they interact with you? When they go away from meeting you? You know, we all do this. When we go, we meet somebody for the first time, we kind of mentally in our head goes, okay, yeah, that person's kind of cool, you know, look, kind of strange, unique, okay. Or do we actually think, how do I come across? Does this person think, wow, that's a really nice, warm, inviting person? Wow, you know what? They seem really interested in me. I kind of knew this one guy. He kind of helped me out in youth ministry. And he was one of my youth leaders. And one of the things I noticed about him that he was very much kind of had a hard time kind of interacting socially with his own age group. And so one of the things I noticed is that in the last number of years, I hadn't seen him. He moved to downtown, and he's trading stocks and all that. And he'd slimmed up, and he was wearing really expensive clothes now. And one of the things that I noticed about him before, though, whenever he'd talk, the pride and his ego would just come out in his words. And it was kind of like, whoa, it was kind of a bit of a turnoff because it was always just about him and how smart he was and all that kind of stuff. He's a really gifted guy. He's smart, no doubt about it. But what happened was is that he transformed his outer appearance. And I just met him recently. And I'm like, whoa, this is a new guy. And then he opened his mouth and nothing had changed. And I kind of went away going, you know, we spend so much time working on the outer appearance, but yet inside, he was just so much about himself and what he was doing and the things that he was chasing. And I would just want to encourage you, how do people view you and what do they think when they interact with you? Obviously, the woman at the well knew Jesus was different. He was the Messiah. Let's move on to verse 28 as I close. So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town. And she said to the people, come and see the man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and they were coming to him. You know, I really believe that when people experience the love of Christ, they do crazy things. They run off without their water. They forget things. You know what? I want to ask you, as a Christian, have you done some wild things for God lately that just, you just kind of go, wow, I can't believe I did that? Or are we into such a routine in our faith that we just kind of are doing our thing and God kind of fits into a part of that? This lady was transformed by God and she ran out and she did some crazy stuff. She risked it all. She went into this community and she told them her story. And then, guess what? They came. And I would just want to say, can you imagine if you're willing to put on this mask and begin to see the people around you? Be willing to go below the surface into the people's lives that God puts you in contact with. To see their beauty, to see their ugliness, their sin, their confusion, and to say, hey, you know what? I want to come alongside you. Give me your hand and let me show you the strength of my God. Let me show you the salvation of my Savior who wants to redeem you from where you are. Friends, what would the West Side look like if we took a risk and were willing to go below the surface and live lives like that? You know what? I think you'd have a problem here on your hands. I don't think you could meet here because there wouldn't be enough room. And I think that's already happening, and that's a good thing. I want to pray for you today, and the band's going to come. And I just want to say, as I pray, that you would let God be willing to take you on this journey of going below the surface into people's lives this week. I would love to hear what happens. And maybe there'd be some way that I could. Let's do that together and let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you that you're a God of beauty, and that beauty is represented in the lives of this city. And Father, I thank you that you're a God that wants to redeem people, that you come to save, that you come to make a difference in our lives. But Lord, you don't want us just to form our little bubbles. Lord, you want us to interact. And so I pray that you give us courage to break cultural barriers, that we would go forth. Lord, that we would find ways we'd be attuned to your Spirit, and that your Spirit would guide us into those relationships that are around us that you ordain. And God, we pray that you would then do your work. Because, Lord, it is nothing that we do. You are the one that draws and makes the difference. But, Lord, help us to be able to set that table for you to work in those lives around us. God, give my friends courage. And for those, Lord, that are still discovering who you are, I pray that you would help them to understand how you want to give them life and life to the full. To be able to have living water that they will thirst no more. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.